Congregation, let us open the holy and infallible word of the Lord this afternoon in the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians and read from chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16 till 26. There we read the holy word of the Lord as follows. Galatians 5, starting at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So far the reading of God's holy word. Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this afternoon from the scripture part that we have been reading from Galatians 5. I read one verse especially as text verse for the sermon. Galatians 5, verse 25. I read the holy and infallible word of the Lord as follows. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The theme is the need and work of the Holy Spirit. 3 points of attention. The first point, led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. The second point, crucified with Christ and crucify the flesh. And the third point, works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So the theme is the need and work of the Holy Spirit. 3 points. Led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Crucified with Christ and crucify the flesh. Works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Congregation, it happened that there was an older lady walking to the church, like you in the Netherlands can walk many times to the church. In the village, see people coming from all streets and directions going to the church. Like in my first Dutch church, was on the dike and they would come from all directions, go to the church. So there was a lady walking to the church, and some young people saw her walking there and they mocked. Said,
Hey lady, what kind of a God is that that you serve?
And she said, you know what kind of a God it is? This God is so great that the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. And at the same time, he is living here within this little heart of me. Wonderful. If you are so ready to give a report of the hope that is within you, like Peter says in his letters that we should do, that we should be prepared to answer those that ask us. And how true it is what his lady told his young people. God is so great. He is omnipresent. At the same time, the word is teaching us that God, and especially we think of God, the Holy Spirit, is dwelling within the heart of the hearts of those that believe. It's a wonderful thought. I remember there was a boy and I was a young person, and the Lord worked in him. And he said, I was so foolish, I didn't even know about the Holy Spirit. I never thought about it. And that Spirit dwells within. And that Spirit is the one that works faith in the heart. Oh, what a miracle. If you think about what the Lord Jesus says in John 5, that death will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those that hear will live. How is that possible? Well, that is the miracle of the work of the Spirit using the Word. It's a godly Word. It's a living Word. And the Spirit is using it to make a dead sinner alive. There is such a power in the Word. By the Spirit that you hear, like you never heard before, that God is working at faith in your heart, so that you surrender to the Lord to be saved by Him alone. It's the work of the Spirit. And that Spirit will never leave the heart of the child of God. God will never forsake the work that His hand started in the heart of a boy, a girl, a man, a woman. What a comfort it is. And how good it is to remember that His Spirit is called Comforter. And that Spirit is teaching what we need to know to find comfort in our misery. The Holy Spirit. Maybe someone says, well, but David is praying in Psalm 51 that God would not take His Holy Spirit from him. Yeah, so there can be fear in the heart of a child of God when you see your own sins and when you feel how much you have offended the Lord, what you did. The Lord would withdraw His Spirit out of your heart. That doesn't happen. The Lord will not forsake that work where He worked, that new life, that regeneration. But it will happen that His sweet comfort and light and guidance is not experienced like it was before. Like David is complaining about in Psalm 32 that the hand of the Lord was heavy upon him after he sinned and did not confess it. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit was gone out of his heart. But that is true, that the Word is teaching us that the Holy Spirit will stay
with the children of God does not mean that they are perfect in themselves, or that they should not pray, that there would not be a need to pray that the Holy Spirit will fill them. Paul is teaching in the letter to the Ephesians that we should not be drunk in wine, but be filled by the Holy Spirit. And he is writing that to those in that came to know the Lord Jesus. So the Spirit worked and dwelt in the hearts. Still there is a need to pray that his Spirit will fill them. We need it again and again and more, so that we will know Christ more and walk in the Spirit. So our first thought was led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Can those two go together? I mean, if you say led by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, it feels like that is something that happens to you, that is done to you. And that word is a word that you could use for a farmer who is leading his cattle in a certain direction, or a shepherd his sheep, or even a soldier, a prisoner, leading the prisoner where he wants him to go. Or you could use it even for the wind that is blowing a ship in a certain direction. So to be led by the Spirit means that there is something that is done to you. But if you think about what Paul says here, walk in the Spirit, that feels like something that you have to do. So now the question comes and can be there. And you think, well, what is it now? Is it to be led by the Spirit or to walk in the Spirit? Is it something that is done to you or is it something that you do? And we have to understand that those two do not exclude each other, but that they go together. And I'll try with the help of the Lord to explain how they go together, but let's look to a scripture part that is making that clear, that those two go together. If you think about Philippians 2, verse 12, and there we read, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And then verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." There you see it. Those two go together in a wonderful way. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So now you might wonder how that can go together. I hope that you really have a desire in your heart to be led by the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. So when the apostle is urging here in this chapter and says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, there is a reason that he does that. Because those people that came to the knowledge of Christ, they, like we heard also a little bit about it this morning, they had also received wrong teaching. There came teachers that were like wolves in sheep clothes. They taught them that they had to add something to the work of Christ to be saved.
And so that's a danger, because if you think that you have to add something, you're going to depend on what you add and trust for a certain part in what you perform and what you do. And then you dishonor Christ and you grieve the spirits and you bring a darkness over your soul. And Paul is warning in this letter in a very strong way against that. And he is teaching them, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So to walk in the Spirit, that is the opposite of walking after the flesh. Walk in the Spirit is to live near to the Lord, is to live with the Word in our hearts and minds, is to live by prayer and by faith, and not to live by what we perform. And you say, well, I try that. But, it's so hard, it's so difficult. Like one of our children said, Mom, why do I so many times forget to pray? I did pray that the Lord would help me, that I would remember. I forget all the time. Then I see other things, I think about other things that are more important. It's our sinful heart. So what he already experienced is that what the Lord is saying that we should do, and that is true, we have to walk in the Spirit, he will experience, but how can I do that? How can I do that? So that we would cry out to the Lord, O Lord, lead me, so that I will walk in the Spirit. It's like a child to the hand of his father. Small child walking, and the father is leading the child. Yeah, but it's really a difference if the child is happy to walk at the hand of the father. Maybe because of the darkness that is there around him, and he is scared. Or if the child is trying to get away from the father, because he is seeing things that he would like to do, but the father knows now that is not good and it's dangerous for you. And the child trying to get away. And the father would say, well, walk with me. And he would lead the child and take care as he would really walk with him. You see how it can happen? That the father tells the child he should walk with him, but he is taking care also that he will walk with him. And how wonderful the Lord is inclining our hearts and making us willing to walk in the Spirit. That is the work of the Spirit, who is working that new desire within by the Word and by faith. It can be so different. It's not something that we have that we should take for granted. We should always watch and pray. Remember David, how there was an evil spirit that came. The Lord allowed it. And David decided to number the people, to count them. Although Job didn't like it, but he did it. And the Lord's anger was kindled, and same time you read, the Lord wanted to punish the people for their sins. So David, he was at that moment led by an evil spirit. The devil will always try to do that. Like the devil came to Peter, and that Peter denied the Lord. And so, yeah, we have to watch and to pray. And there is really a reason that Paul is writing this to the Galatians, that they should walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. That's the opposite of living in the flesh. The Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit is the one that is showing Christ. When I was a pastor in Isomida, and then especially in winter time, when you would come over the bridge of Kampen to Isomida, I don't know if you've ever been there, but then you could see the tower of the old church in Isomida, because there at the ground there were big lights. You didn't see the lights, but they were there. And because they were there, you could see the tower. The lights were throwing light on the tower in the dark night. Isn't that what the Spirit is doing? That the Spirit is showing us whom Christ is and what His work is, and that that is the only way to find peace for our hearts, peace with God. Well, if we live by that faith of being saved by the blood of Christ, that is to live in the Spirit, it is the teaching and the work of the Spirit that we know the Savior, and that there is that trust and surrendering to Him. And now Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He saw how much they were in danger to walk after the flesh, which means not to depend on Christ and His work. You can walk after the flesh, like we will see when we talk about the works of the flesh, by living in certain terrible sins. But you can also walk after the flesh by trying to perform religious things and starting to trust in what you do. Find delight in your own work instead of in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a danger, and how much we dishonor the Lord. So, yeah, if we do that, it's like we try to find a stairway to heaven, to find steps to climb higher and higher, to climb high enough to be saved. And that's in fact what all other religions teach. They would say, okay, you have to do this and that, that duty and that and that, and if you do it good enough, then you'll probably be fine. There's no assurance, because when do you know if you did enough as a Muslim or in Roman Catholicism and other religions? It's self-salvation. But the miracle of the gospel is that God came down in His Son to pick sinners up out of the mud of their depravity, to put them on that rock of ages, on Jesus Christ, to be saved by Him. So what a difference if you fight to make it in your own strength, or if by the grace of God that came to an end and you had to give up and you rely on the work and the strength, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to walk in the Spirit. So the first thought is, led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. The second thought is, crucified with Christ and crucify the flesh. Again, something that seems to be opposite. Paul, he says in Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So I am crucified with Christ. What does it mean? It happened some time ago, and for us a long time ago. So could it be true for us? That we could know by faith, I am crucified with Christ. So when Christ was crucified, when he was nailed to the wood, that I could know by faith, and I with him. I was included in that work. God had loved me from eternity, elected me, and Christ, when he died upon the cross, he died there for his whole church, that he would save out of their sin and misery. So, that great work of salvation is not done by Paul, but done by Christ. And Paul was included there in that being crucified of Christ. I am crucified with Christ. So that is something that has happened, that is finished, like the Lord Jesus has said when he died upon the cross. It is finished. In other words, there is nothing that is lacking. There is nothing that is to be added to it. And Paul says, that is true for me. He saw that in all his misery and sin, oh my hope, but it is a perfect hope, is in what Christ has done there upon the cross. I am crucified with him. There is the punishment that I deserve, taken and finished. It's sufficient. It is done. Oh, what a deep, deep thing. What a wonderful gospel. That he is a perfect Savior. That he took that whole punishment. That he paid the whole price. That he accomplished all, everything that had to be done to save me, a poor sinner. So that is what Paul by faith knows. There is the victory. There is his security. There is his salvation. He could even say, is it in the letter of Ephesians, I'm with Christ set in heaven. That glory is so secure, so certain, because his work is perfect. And he did it also for me. But then at the same time, we have to crucify the flesh. Or to say it with other words, kill your members on earth. So that old sinful nature, there might be someone here that is really struggling with it. As you say, oh, the Lord convinced me of my guilt. I confessed it to the Lord. I cried for forgiveness. And I had some peace in my heart. But afterwards, oh, I saw so many sins in my life. I've been fallen in sin again, and I had expected that that would not happen, that that would be over. If you are crucified, then it is over, isn't it? Yeah, by faith. By faith, you know, it's all finished. There's nothing that has to be done. He did it all. But in experience, you will have that warfare, that fight of faith. By experience, you will understand what Paul says in Romans 7. O miserable man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So there he is experiencing still that old sinful nature, the flesh. I remember how confusing it was for me. And the Lord worked in my heart. And there was still sin. And it took time for me. That the Spirit would show me that those two are both true. That in Christ, I'm righteous by faith before God. And in my experience, I'm a miserable sinner. So, at the same time, to be holy, righteous in Christ, and at the same time, to be sinful in yourself. And what Paul is teaching here, there are two natures, you could say, that old nature and that new principle, that work of the Spirit. So those two oppose each other. The flesh, that doesn't mean the flesh that you see that is over your bones, but the flesh is a word that is used for the old nature, which is sinful, which is sin, totally. That's our nature, that's how we are born. That means that we put ourselves in the center and always seek ourselves and try to give glory to ourselves. That old sinful nature. And that is everything before the Lord works in our hearts. But then when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and faith is looking unto Christ, there's a new principle. There's something new, spiritual life, a new desire to obey the Lord, to see and experience the love of Christ, that He died for me. And now you start to hate sin. But your flesh will never improve. Your flesh would like and still likes to enjoy sin. So there's a fight, there's a conflict inside. They oppose each other, the flesh and the spirit. That's what Paul is talking about. But it's so important that we see where the foundation is. That we see that we don't turn it. That we do not think, if I kill that old sinful nature, then at the end I will be acceptable to God. No, it's the other way around. Christ came to save sinners. Those that couldn't save themselves, there's no fruit to be expected from them. They cannot improve themselves. They are worthy to be punished. And He came and brought a full salvation. And where they see that, they rejoice in Him. And so then their life is going to change. That's because of the knowledge of Christ. That's because of the power of the Spirit that they have and want to kill their members on earth, which means that old sinful habits and life, that old sinful nature that is always seeking to satisfy the flesh, to do what is giving pleasure to my flesh and giving glory and satisfaction to myself and not thinking about the glory of God. What a change it is. Do you understand that? Do you experience something of that miracle in your life? That Christ came for sinners and that you surrendered to Him. That now He, by His Spirit, is changing things. Before, you wouldn't have a desire to seek the Lord. And now it becomes your joy. Oh, but there are times that you do not feel that so strongly, that you are backsliding. There was an Indian who was converted. You maybe ever heard that history. And he told the missionary, "Sir, there are two dogs fighting here within, a black and a white." I use that example sometimes in jail in Grand Rapids when I preach there, and they immediately recognize it. And that missionary said to the Indian, "And which of those two dogs are winning, the black or the white one?" And he said, "It depends which of the two I feet the most. That one is the strongest, and that one is winning inside. You understand what he means? Do you see how true that is? That black dog, that old sinful nature, and that new life worked by the Spirit from the Word, to trust in Christ, to look upon him for salvation. Yeah, if you feed that white dog by reading the Word, by praying, there will be a growing in knowledge and grace. You will experience more of that comfort and assurance. There's also a work of the Spirit, a fruit of faith, you could say, that there's assurance. Like Paul says in Romans 8, that Spirit is witnessing with my spirit that we are children of God. So what does it mean? And that means that the Holy Spirit is using the Word and making it so powerful that it is doing power in my heart. And that there are those times that I know it for sure. Yes, it is true. This is the truth. He saved me from all my sin and all my guilt. It is written here, and it is true for me. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is washing and cleansing from all sin. And that Spirit is witnessing with my spirit within, so that there is that assurance. So, yeah, you can feed, and we have to feed that white dog. You can also feed that black dog. We really make a mistake and deceive ourselves when we think that you, without any trouble, could watch movies showing you sins, tempting you to sin, could read books that describe how the laws of the Lord are broken and trespassed. And that would not have any effect on you. That would really be a mistake if you think that. Of course it will. There will be a result. Remember what happened before and in the Second World War. How Hitler, with his words of lie, came, and how he influenced people that they believed the lie, and that he did what he wanted them to do. So if we feed that black dog, watching, enjoying sin in our mind and fantasy, of course there will be a result. Of course that black dog will be stronger. And we shouldn't be surprised if sin is overcoming us, conquering in my heart and life. So, how important to see by faith, to have that applied to your heart, Christ crucified, and that for me, that's the foundation. There will be a result, that I will kill the members on earth, that I will crucify my flesh, nail it to the cross. I don't want this anymore. Is this honoring the Lord? Is disturbing the sweet communion with God in my heart? I run away from it. I throw that stuff away. There's a boy in one of my Dutch churches who was addicted to pop music. And the Lord worked in his life. And it took all these... He took all those CDs and he threw them away. He destroyed them. And he had a hard time. He was so addicted to it. You wouldn't believe that you can have that from music. He was shaking while he was laying on his bed. It was that strong music. It had a chemical result in his brains and he really needed it. And yeah, oh, what a dark powers there are. and now to crucify. I mean, it can be a very subtle thing, that jealousy in your life, that gossiping, slandering someone else. You confess it before the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, I know it's wrong. It happens so easily. Oh, help me to fight against this. I don't want it anymore. It's dishonoring Thee, doing harm and damage to my soul." Our third thought is the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So we already saw something of that. And Paul is speaking here about it. It is so good to see how he is speaking about it. It says the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. So works, something that you do. And it is plural. It's many of them. But then afterwards he is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So a fruit is something that is growing. That's not something that you do as such. Well, you do it, but it's because the Spirit is making it to grow in your life. Why does it say fruit and not fruits? There is a wonderful unity in that work of the Spirit. You could compare it to, like, if you have an orange, if you peel it, it's one fruit, although it has certain parts. And so it is with the fruit of the Spirit. And at the other side, the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh, they are manifest. Adultery, fornication, so all those things that he is mentioning here, the first part is about sexual sins. We live in a world that is shown, especially in the modern media, in an unashamed way. And people, many, try to find the fulfillment of their heart in it. What a big mistake. If you sacrifice, you could say, if you will lose that eternal joy of your soul because of that moment of pleasure that you can get immediately instead of expecting that full experience of eternal joy with the Lord. The works of the flesh. It has to do with the relation to your neighbors. Envying, murders. It has to do with the relation to yourself. Drunkenness. And all those sins that Paul is describing here as works of the flesh. You do what you want. That's how we are by nature. That's how we think by nature. I do what I want. I can use my body the way I want to do it. I can spend my money the way I want to do it. I can spend my time, use my capacities like I want. And nobody should interfere with that. Oh, what a big mistake. It's not your money. It's not your body. It's not your time. It's all given by the Lord. What do you have that you did not receive? So there should be that humble prayer in our hearts. Oh Lord, teach me the way that I should go. How to live as a young person, as an older person. Oh, that there would be a watch. That I would watch, and that there would be a watch before my mouth and my eyes. And Lord, so that I would escape from the snare of the devil. The works of the flesh. It ends up in destruction. It can never fulfill our hearts. But the fruit of the Spirit is so different. That what the Holy Spirit is working in our life, those invisible things that are so real, so wonderful, rich, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, If you know Christ, then only then you know real love, how He sacrificed Himself. You know real joy and peace. What a deep harmony in your heart to be reconciled to God. If there is a child that did wrong, and one of the parents says, and now you go to your room, and you stay there, you feel bad. You did bad, you did wrong, but also there's now a separation. My dad or my mom is angry with me. But then you hear them coming. Open the door, sit next to you and talk to you. Why did you do that? And do you see it's wrong? But I still love you. And I forgive you. And so the parent embraces the child and the child is so happy. Now it's good again. And that's a weak illustration to show something of that peace in your heart. To be reconciled to God. Peace with God. Joy. Oh, and then all those other things that have to do with relation to your neighbor and yourself. Long-suffering, meekness. What a miracle. The Lord is teaching you that. Gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that Christ had in a perfect way. And that He is teaching. So that people will see something of Christ in you. And what a difference it makes. In a world full of selfishness. In a world full of darkness. To show totally different way of life. Not to put yourself in the center. But Christ. And not to look for yourself in the first place. But to think about your neighbor. To be willing to serve. To crucify the flesh, to take your cross cheerfully, to walk in the Spirit, to walk with Christ. I know it's impossible for us in our old nature, but it is possible. Christ is working that in the hearts of His children. There are those examples in Scripture. Christ gave the example washing the feet of His disciples. And Stephen, he prayed for his enemies while the rocks hit his head, were there, thrown by them to kill him. He prayed for them. Oh, what a testimony in this world. And then that last verse, let us not be desirous of vain glory. Vain glory. The glory of this world is vain, and the glory of Christ is full, and will never end. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. And Paul says, then it's one of the two. We provoke each other, or we envy one another. We provoke. If we think we are stronger, we provoke the other one. We want it to be seen that we are stronger, or we envy if we feel we are not. We have that jealousy and envying in our heart. And both means darkness within. And both is the misery of sin. Oh, that God would teach us and show us Christ. And He who says, learn from me that I am meek and humble in heart. He is it in a perfect way. And when we know His love, we want to be like Him. Although it will be a lifelong struggle, but one day perfect with Him, in glory, in eternity. Is that your hope and is that your future? Amen. Congregation, let us close with prayer. Lord, how great Thou art. How many reasons to thank Thee for Thy goodness. Thou art long-suffering, O Lord, and forbearing. Thou art proclaiming Thy word so that sinners would be saved. What a miracle If we receive that meekness, blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the earth. And there's no reason to provoke anymore. There's no reason to envy anymore. When we know by faith that we will inherit it all, to find everything in Christ, so that we could say with Jacob, I have all, while Esau could say, I have much. Lord, what a difference. Bless thy word, so that we will have all in Christ. Outside of ourselves, what we cannot find in ourselves. Be with us when we go home and in this new week. Bless the labor of our hands. Keep us from sin. Oh, keep us from an unreconciled death, O Lord, that we will find life in Christ while it is a time of grace. Lord, guide and teach us by thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee for thy goodness, and that all of us would be drawn with ropes of love to know thee. We pray, Lord, keep us, protect us, and save us. In the forgiveness of our sins we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.